May we be blessed by the fertile earth, our foundation and bedrock, with gratitude. May we be blessed by the spring rains and the glistening dew, quenching our thirst for freedom and beauty. May we be blessed by the shining sun and the growing light, renewing and revealing all as it truly is. May we be blessed by the sweetly scented spring breeze, sweeping away the cobwebs of winter and bringing us inspiration and hope. Our chalice lighting words are in honour of Brigid, whose feast this is. A crown of lights for the gentle healer. A crown of lights for the inspired poet. A crown of lights for the smith of dreams. A crown of lights for the midwife of Ireland. And the chalice of life for her wisdom. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this world in which the clouds of war, poverty, and climate change hover. And help us to make a difference, starting where we are with what we have. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. May we be grateful for the freedoms we have and respect the wishes of others. And may we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, victims of violence and war, suffering in any way. Amen. Our first reading is from Yvonne Abreu's blog, Dowsing for Divinity, and it's called Imulc. Imulc is the time of year when I like to start new projects and endeavours. It's the time when the first signs of spring appear, at least in my neck of the woods. Your local climate may vary. The goddess most associated with Imulc is Brigid, goddess of smithcraft, poetry and healing. Some people wait until the first snowdrops appear before they celebrate Imulc. Snowdrops are the first flowers to appear after the long cold winter. Hence they and the festival represent the first stirrings of new life after the darkness, cold and sleep of the winter. The derivation of the word Imulc is not clear. The most common etymology is that it comes from the old Irish Imulc, in the belly, and refers to pregnant ewes. It may be derived from the old Irish Impulc, to wash or cleanse oneself. This would be consistent with the Latin meaning of February, the month of cleansing. Traditional Irish folk ritual for Imulc involves making a bridiog, a figure or doll of Brigid, and a bed for the doll. People also weave Brigid's crosses, which were often hung over doors and windows, in houses and stables, to welcome Brigid and protect the buildings from fire and lightning. The crosses were generally left up until the next Imulc. Imulc is the start of the cleansing tide, one of the four tides of the year, when the mulch and compost from last year's growth is broken down to feed the new vegetation. Two more symbols of Brigid are the white swan and the serpent. She is the goddess of the sacred flame of Kildare and the patron goddess of the Druids. The Dagda of the Tuatha De Danann is her father. At this time, sheep are giving birth to lambs, and the trees start putting forth new growth, whose twigs are often red. And I apologise for any mispronunciation of any Irish words in that reading. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. I invite you to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our next reading is about Candlemas Day, the Christian Festival of Lights. 2nd of February is Candlemas Day. This ancient festival marks the midpoint of winter, halfway between the shortest day and the spring equinox. Candlemas is a traditional Christian festival that commemorates the ritual purification of Mary, 40 days after the birth of her son Jesus. On this day, Christians remember the presentation of Jesus in the temple. 40 days after the birth of a Jewish boy, it was the custom to take him to the temple, to be presented to God by his thankful parents. In pre-Christian times, this day was known as the Feast of Lights and was celebrated the increased strength of the life-giving sun as winter gave way to spring. It was the day of the year when all the candles that were used in the church during the coming year were brought into church and a blessing was said over them. So it was the festival day or mass of the candles. Candles were important in those days, not only because there were no electric lights. Some people thought they gave protection against plague and illness and famine. For Christians, they were, and still are, a reminder of something even more important. Before Jesus came to earth, it was as if everyone was in the dark. People often felt lost and lonely, afraid, as if they were on their own with no one to help them. Then Jesus came with his message that he is with his followers, always ready to help and comfort them, as if he is a guiding light to them in the darkness. Christians often talk of Jesus as the light of the world, and candles are lit during church services to remind people of this. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. O God, give me light in my heart and light on my tongue, and light in my hearing and light in my sight, and light in my feeling and light in all my body, and light before me and light behind me. Give me, I pray, light on my right hand and light on my left, and light above me, and light beneath me. O Lord, increase light within me, and give me light, and illuminate me. May it be so. Our final reading is from the Quaker book, Listening to the Light, by Jim Pym. Another key concept when friends talk about God is that of the inward light. This light is that of God within each person, and some would say within all created things. Or, put another way, that of God and the light are one. This light is the light of Christ, and is equated with what St. Paul called the mind of Christ. Others see it as life, which like light is freely given to all creation. We know the light as the unconditional love of God, which, if we can accept it, we are able to radiate as light to the world around us. The light is seen in different ways. Paradoxically, we do not often talk about seeing it. The way in which we are most aware of it is through what the Bible calls the still small voice. In this intuitive whisper, we are enabled to discover the will of God for us, and then we see the light as we listen to it guiding us. Experience of the light is something that does not come to us through scriptures. The mystics of all traditions have the ability to pass it on, or rather, to awaken it in others, by recognizing that it is there in all creation. Sometimes the light is personified, as with Christ as the light of the world, or Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, in the Buddhist tradition. At other times it is impersonal, leading us to the point where all projections disappear. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection. So find a comfortable position in which to sit, think, pray and meditate. There'll be some words, there'll be a time of silence, then a few more words. In this time of anticipated spring, let us allow ourselves to extend the anticipation, to value the time of budding before blooming, of seeding before sprouting. This is a time of revelation, the revealing of that which is eternal, which we see every year, but still need to be reminded to see it in a new way. There is also the revelation of that which is new. Every spring, we encounter something never before seen. It is that very newness which embodies hope and potential for the wholeness which is yet to be. Let us continue in the silence. Let us allow spring to unfold slowly, that we may appreciate the true mystery of rebirth and renewal. So may it be. Amen. Let us have some music. Thank you. Tomorrow, the 2nd of February, sees the celebration of two different festivals, the pagan festival of Imolc and the Christian festival of Candlemas. Today, I'd like to share some thoughts about the importance of light as a symbol of religious faith or commitment, and also as a symbol of enlightenment. We saw in our first reading how pagans celebrate the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox by the lighting of fires, the performance of rituals to harness the divine energy needed to get them through the rest of the winter, and to ensure a steady supply of food until harvest time. It is also in honour of Brigid, goddess of smithcraft, poetry and healing. This is the festival of Imolc. As Celia Cartwright explains in her wonderful booklet about the pagan wheel of the year, Imolc represents the very first glimpse of spring, when the fire of life, which had apparently lain dormant in the earth, shows us that it has merely been gestating. Green buds and snowdrops herald the coming of spring and a time for celebration. Imolc is the celebration of the first stirrings of spring, not only in nature, but in ourselves, within our own hearts, our bodies, our spiritual centres. Imolc represents the time of Earth's quickening, the first fetal stirrings of spring in the womb of Mother Earth. As with the other quarter day festivals, Samhain, Beltane and Lunasar, it is a fire festival. At Imolc, the emphasis is on light rather than heat, and this is often represented by candles rising out of water, symbolising the rising light of spring, emerging from the creative feminine waters. Candlemas commemorates the purification of Mary, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, and his presentation at the temple, during which, according to the Gospel of Luke, Simeon held the babe in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." According to the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, it was kept locally at Jerusalem from about the year 350 on the 14th of February and moved later to the 2nd of February. In 542, the Emperor Justinian ordered its observance at Constantinople as a thanksgiving for the cessation of plague, and thence it spread throughout the East. Somewhat later, it began to be widely kept in the West. It came to be called Candlemas when the custom started to bring all the candles that were used in the church during the coming year into church and say a blessing over them, the festival day or Mass of the candles. Many religious traditions use light as a symbol of faith. Light is used as a symbol for different divine or reverence figures, Jesus to Christians, Muhammad to Muslims, the Buddha to Buddhists. The list goes on. Many religions hold some sort of festival of light during the year. The pagans have Imolc, Christians have Candlemas, and light plays an important role in the season of Advent. Jews have Hanukkah, and Hindus have Diwali. and the aim of all Buddhists is to become enlightened, to achieve nirvana. Why is light such a potent symbol to so many people? I think it speaks to us at a very fundamental level. We need light to see, and hence to comprehend our world. The light of the sun enables crops to grow so that we and the animals can eat. It enables us to see what we are doing and to see our neighbours and friends and interact with them. Our everyday language is full of the importance of light. A good idea is illuminating. And light can also stand for knowledge, truth, and revelation. Conversely, Roger Cesarus lists benighted and unenlightened and being in the dark or blind as synonyms for ignorance. The concept of inner light is also very important in religion. Take the Quakers, for example. In their advices and queries, they advise friends to hold yourself and others in the light, knowing that all are cherished by God. And take time to learn about other people's experiences of the light. Appreciate that doubt and questioning can also lead to spiritual growth and to a greater awareness of the light that is in us all. And the word light always has a capital L. I love the description of the inward light that Jim Pym gives in his book, Listening to the Light, which we saw in our third reading. The Quaker belief that that of God within each person, or in all creation, is the light, and that the light and God are one and the same, resonates deeply for me. As I said in an old service on the return of the light, the Quakers speak of the light within, which is their term for the divine spark that is within each of us. This divine light is deep within each of us, waiting to be noticed and attended to. A divine spark resides deep within every single human being. Old, young, male, female, non-binary, of whatever sexual orientation, class or race. A part of each of us that has never been wounded, never suffered grief. And I believe that it is our job, while we are here in this life, to recognize the divine spark, that of God, in others, and to reach out to it in recognition and joy. The wonderful Celtic poet and theologian, John O'Donoghue, has some beautiful words on the different qualities of light, and I'd like to share some of them with you. In the glare of neon times, let our eyes not be worn by surfaces that shine with hunger made attractive. That our thoughts may be true light, finding their way into words which have the weight of shadow to hold the layers of truth. That we never place our trust in minds claimed by empty light, where one-sided certainties are driven by false desire. When we look into the heart, may our eyes have the kindness and reverence of candlelight. when we are confined inside the dark house of suffering, that moonlight might find a window. When we become so false and lost that the severe noon light would cast our shadow clear. When we love that dawn light would lighten our feet upon the waters. As we grow old, that twilight would illuminate treasure in the fields of memory. Such glorious images, the kindness and reverence of candlelight, that there is also empty light, where one-sided certainties are driven by false desire, and the ability of twilight to illuminate treasure in the fields of memory. I find his words illuminating, enlightening, such a gift to those who read them. There is no doubt about it. Light is a vital part of our lives, both literally and symbolically. Without the kind and fecund light of the sun, we and everything on our planet would die. And without the light of ideas and insights, from which we may learn and receive revelations, our inner selves would shrivel up and die. As I see it, it should be the duty and quest of all human beings to seek for the light, to take it deep into our hearts, and to live our lives suffused by it, sharing it with all we come into contact with. The inner light of the Quakers is there in everyone. We just need to be aware of it. I will leave you with some words from Don Camillo and the Prodigal Son by Giovanni Guareschi, in which the Lord is speaking to Don Camillo. Once 100 men were shut into an enormous dark room, each one of them with an unlit lamp. One of them managed to light his lamp, and so they could all see one another and get to know one another. As the rest lit their lamps, more and more of the objects around them came into view, until finally everything in the room stood out as beautiful and good. "Now follow me closely, Don Camillo." There were 100 lamps, only one idea. Yet it took the light of all the lamps to reveal the details of everything in the room. Every flame was the 100th part of one great idea, one great light, the idea of the existence and majesty of the Creator. Today, men wander mistrustfully about, each one in the light of his own lamp, with an area of melancholy darkness all around him, clinging to the slightest detail of whatever object he can illuminate by himself. And so I say that ideas do not exist. There is only one idea, one truth, with 100 facets. Ideas are neither finite nor finished, because there is only this one and eternal idea. But men must join their fellows again like those in the enormous room. May we all be such lights, one to another, and to the wider world of which we are a part. Amen. Some closing words. Spirit of life and love, as light is a symbol of hope and renewal, of divine presence within each and every one of us, may we celebrate the midpoint of winter with our hearts high, anticipating new life, new hope. May the ashes of all our fires replenish. May the snowdrops inspire our presence. May the soil sense the poetry that we all are. May fire hold and heal our community. May we walk our path with the knowledge of light. May we be open, willing, and forever unafraid. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other. And may we keep up our hearts now and in the days to come. Amen.